So Matthew's Beatitudes, they begin Jesus' first big sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has this vast crowd following him. By now, people have heard about his healing ability, and he's become a very charismatic, popular character already among the people of Jerusalem and the whole region. And so they're clamoring for a chance to touch him, to be with him, to be close to him. They're hungry for a word, too, from him about how he is going to teach them. So he goes up a mountain to get away from the clamoring crowds. And you can imagine, we saw this mountain on my trip to Israel, and you go up it, and you can see over the whole valley from up there. And your voice actually echoes in the place that he chose to teach from. And so he seemed to know the geography of the place and knew that his voice would project out so the crowds could hear him. So imagine you're in that crowd looking up at him on the side of a mountain, and his disciples are up close to him, and then you're down in the crowd listening as one of his disciples too. And he sits there as a rabbi would sit, with a posture of teaching. And Matthew 5, 1 through 12 says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, after I had attended a couple of in-memory ceremonies at the Vietnam Vet War Memorial in Washington, D.C., I was there on behalf of my brother Jim, and I was asked by the organizer of the ceremony to be a guest speaker for their next Memorial Day at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. I was honored and terrified. This was before I went to seminary, and I was not sure I could do it because my brother, the in-memory program honoree that year, had committed suicide after a long struggle with PTSD and schizophrenia that was triggered by his experience as a Navy CB on the demilitarized zone in Vietnam. Now, Jim left for Vietnam a happy and hopeful 19-year-old, ready to take on the world. And he returned a totally different person, and the Navy acknowledged he was 100% mentally disabled as a result of his wartime experience. My brother returned home poor in spirit. The complete change in my brother inspired me to go into psychiatric nursing so I could learn how and why the brain responds sometimes this way to trauma. And I hoped that maybe I could help him someday. But over time, I discovered it was hard to help Jim, other than help him get committed periodically to mental hospitals when he became a danger to himself and others. Thus, after many years of complicated problems, I was the only one in our family willing to stay in touch with him. And that is why the police called me first when they found his body. The only phone number they could find to report his death was mine. Now, our family felt a lot of shame after Jim came home from the war because he was stigmatized for having mental health damage. His local buddies in Neola, Iowa, started calling him the nickname Craze. And he lost job after job and relationship after relationship due to his irregular way of taking and not taking his medicine. He hated the side effects and the fact that he could not drink beer with his buddies while on the meds. He would get violently ill if he drank while taking his psychiatric medications. 28 years ago this month, I got the call, and it was very hard to call my mother to tell her. This is what the honor roll in memory records look like when you go on the website of the Vietnam Vet War Memorial. They're stored near the Vietnam Memorial wall in a book and now online. And it's on the Vietnam War Memorial Foundation website. I really appreciate them having this, and people can, you know, put little remembrances like on legacy.com when there's an obituary. And every year they speak his name, even if I'm not there. They read all the names of all the in-memory honorees that they've had in the past. And last year, this has become so popular, they had 534 names added to the honor roll. When it was time for me to prepare my talk to give at the memorial ceremony, though, I first had to meet with my pastor at National Presbyterian Church. I explained to him I was having trouble writing the talk because I wasn't sure where Jim was after death. Since he had committed suicide, I worried that he might be stuck in a purgatory of some sort, like the Catholic faith believes. The Catholic Catechism says that suicide is contrary to both the love of God and love of self, and that it goes against the basic human instinct to preserve life. They call it a mortal sin. But Pope Paul acknowledged that grave psychological disturbances, anguish or grave fear of hardship, suffering or torture, can diminish the responsibility of the one committing suicide. The Catholic Catechism also emphasizes that the church should pray for those who die by suicide and should not fear for their eternal salvation. So learning that was comforting to me, even though I'm not Catholic. You know, I just wanted to learn what other faiths believe too. The Presbyterian Church has always been very understanding about suicide being a mental health issue. But my pastor, Craig Barnes, also told me that he couldn't say exactly where my brother is now, but he was sure God did not hold him accountable for sin. Craig encouraged me to remember what we know about the character of God, who is loving, forgiving, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in grace and steadfast love. And that God knew my brother more deeply than any of us could know him, and understood the mental struggles that he was going through, and never left him alone. God is always with us in life and in death. Pondering the reassurance that God was with Jim helped me write the talk for the in-memory ceremony. But it was to be an ecumenical audience, and I didn't want to offend anyone attending by being too Jesus-oriented. And yet the words of the Beatitudes kept coming to my mind, and I decided to use them to provide comfort to those listening. I was amazed at the response and how even those in the audience of Jewish faith knew the Beatitudes. Many shook their heads in agreement as I read today's passage to them because they especially needed the reassurance, such as, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And we all wanted to hear, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Many soldiers came back from Vietnam damaged, like my brother Jim. but they were also, many of them, determined to be peacemakers. Jim wanted to warn the world that war is truly horrible. Jim wanted to go to the high schools in our region and give talks to all the students about the reality of war, to warn them never to get involved. Jim wanted to share his experiences with people so they could know the tragedy of war, to the point where one day when I was eating pizza with him, I remember in a pizza place, he looked around the pizza place and then he said, "I wish that wall over there was blown out. I wish there was a car overturned and burning over there. I wish that there was a grenade that had been thrown over here." And I was like, "How can you wish such terrible things?" And he said, "I wish the war would come to this country so people could see for themselves how terrible it is." And then when my brother wrote letters to home from Vietnam, when he was still over there, he wrote about how upset he was when two of his buddies were killed. And he was also very upset when children were being used in the war and not being cherished. They were being killed in Vietnam. And Jim always loved kids. He was a very sensitive and empathic person. And so watching children get killed tortured his mind and his soul, especially when Jim thought the U.S. was going to Vietnam to help and not to hurt. He said sometimes their trucks would just roll through the villages going as fast as they could, and if there were women and children in the way, they just got run over. When the Twin Towers came down in New York City, I thought Jim's wish for war to come to our land had come true. But instead, that tragedy caused us to go to war in Afghanistan that has lasted too many years. Did you know 157,000 people in total have been killed in the U.S. war in Afghanistan since 2001? 157,000. And more than 43,000 of those killed have been civilians. 43,000 are civilians that have been killed there. And we also mourn, of course, the 2,372 that were U.S. military deaths since that war started. Every one of those deaths causes pain in our universal souls. There should be war no more. Let the people of those regions work out their own solutions to their problems. And we can assist with diplomacy, but not with weapons. Rather than charge into other countries with our high-powered, overpriced weapons, Jesus calls us to remember to be merciful, meek, and mournful when any people are killed, to be pure in heart, and to hunger for righteousness instead of responding with revenge and overkill. We are all blessed when we have empathy for those on the other side of the border, no matter where that border is. Those who have no choice and feel so desperate that they risk their own lives so their children can find refuge in a safe country, we should welcome. We are all blessed when we mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. In Romans 12, there contains a sermon by Paul given to the church in Rome, and he reminds them how to be and the attitude they should have in life. And we can consider this also like a beatitude type of Sermon on the Mount for us all to remember when Paul said, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Think about it. If we all behaved in these ways, there would be no wars, no hunger, no walls, no inequality, no hate. So let this be your beatitude prescription for a harmonious and fruitful life in Christ. You are blessed to be a blessing. Let us each take responsibility and be that blessing that the world needs so badly now. Amen.